This is Art Moves. Art Moves is a series of curated conversations at the intersection of art, innovation, and social justice. Each week, we'll be talking with the innovative thinkers and doers who are forging new ground in the creative arts while redefining what it means to be creative. I'm Tony Williams.
And I'm Eli Kislansky, and we're here with our co-host, Dr. Darrell Cooper.
It's always wonderful to have Dr. Cooper with us. He is a gem. He is a gem. But anyway, what's really making us excited is that we have in our studio with us today the iconic Nikki Giovanni. We're just so pleased that you're with us, Nikki. So very pleased.
Well, thank you.
You're one of the world's most regarded African-American poets. Your works include poetry anthology, poetry recordings, nonfiction essays that cover a range of topics like race and social issues. Among your many awards, Oprah named you one of her 25 living legends, and you are here and Brooklyn is in the house. So we are just so, so very delighted that you're here with us. In a New York Times article, you were quoted as saying, "I thought 50 years ago that I could make a big difference in the world. What I know now is that I will not allow the world to make a big difference in me." What does that mean to you when you say something like that? Can you unpack that just a little bit for us?
I don't know if I can, actually. I don't want to be crazy, and I don't want to be mean, and I don't want to be afraid of trying something new or something different or looking at things differently. We were talking earlier about the asteroid that was coming to Earth, which I love space. I'm
in
love
too.
With space.
Right.
And
yes.
It's my pleasure to work with, but not for, of course, NASA. And Dr. Robertson calls every now and then. But when the asteroid was coming, he called because he said, you know, our team is upset. They're depressed. He said, you know, maybe you'll write something to cheer him up. And I said, "Dr. Robertson, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm in favor of the asteroid. I hope it hits us, and because Earth is, you know, finished. We're on our way out anyway." And he said, "You can do better than that."
But we're on our way out, right?
But that's quite a scene, though. You can imagine a row of depressed engineers in front of the monitors.
You know, we're everything becomes extinct, and so we are also. Mm-hmm. But if you look at what Earth is, but that's another discussion. But what excited me about the whole thing was I'm an oyster lover. Mm-hmm. And you have to think, who would have thought that there was life inside an oyster, that rock? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, maybe this asteroid that we are afraid of, that we don't like, that we are trying to find a way, how do we push it away? Why don't we get to know it? And of course, I'm a Black woman, so Black woman is going to say to the asteroid, because we are not quite ready to become extinct, you know, come back tomorrow night and try it again. And but I can see why, you know, an asteroid, if it's mating time, which is what my poem is called, if it's mating time in the galaxy, Earth would be a choice because we are pretty. Mm-hmm. We're a little dumb and a little stupid, but we are. We are pretty.
Well, we look good, though.
right. Yeah, a little dumb and a little stupid.
It reminds me,
true.
We are. We're a little bit behind
when
time.
When you say that, what do you mean, though, that we're stupid?
You got to be kidding.
Do we have enough time?
I mean, we're repeating, you know, the Nazis. We're repeating fascism. Right. We're picking at people that have nothing to do with anything. What do you care what I do with my body or what I call my body or what I call myself? That's stupid.
Yes. And it's evil.
If you look at the politicians and how they're trying not to, they're saying we want to be a democratic form of government, and we are actually a Republican form of government.
Absolutely.
But
right.
We don't want you to vote. Well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
So, the galaxy didn't ask me, but if the galaxy said, you know, how long, if I got a call, and Nick, you know, we recognize that there's some problems with Earth. Do you think we should continue? I'd have to say, in all honesty, no. But you know, thanks for calling. But no, we're about finished. So if you ask me about something that happened 50 years ago that I thought 50 years ago, and I don't mean to depress anybody that's listening to your show, we're on our way. We're like dinosaurs or anything else. We're on our way out because we have obviously been misusing everything that's living on this planet. We misuse the water. We misuse the air. We build buildings that are so high they sway, and then we put cars in them. We're here in New York, and we put cars in them, and the weight finally breaks down, and people die. You know, what kind of stupidity is that? And so, you know, and I want to be more hopeful, so we'll probably change direction. But, you know, it's time. But I'll be 80 in 4 weeks.
You look beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes,
but it's good. 80 is good. But
it
see,
is.
So I don't care. I'll be gone.
But I'm listening to you, and I'm hearing you just speak your truth. You speak your truth. A lot of folks aren't comfortable speaking their truth. What is the conversation that you had, or is this just who you are, that allows you to feel free to speak your truth?
They don't have anything I want. And I don't know what else to. Darrell has dimples. My sister has dimples.
Yes, he does. Doesn't he?
And
thought
dimples
were
really cool. Yeah. And I'm a baby sister, and my older sister had dimples. But other than Darrell's dimples, I don't know what else.
No, that's really good.
I think
good.
She's adopting you.
Yes.
Well, you know, I would love that, actually. I mean, you've been my spiritual mother for a very long time, and kind of, I guess, like keeping in line with that, you mentioned you have a milestone birthday coming up. You, like myself, are also a very proud Gemini, which is, you know, the name of one of your collective works as well.
Mercurial.
Yes. How much do you, you've mentioned the galaxy, you've mentioned the universe. How much do you feel that, you know, there's this intergalactic connectedness that we have simply by our birthright or the stars that we're born under?
Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that.
I just think it's so, I think that's wonderful. And I really I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Charles Burton when he was the head of NASA. And I said to him, you know, I'd really love to go into space. You know, it was just one of those, I'd love to go into space, because I don't have $100,000 to play some of those billionaires. And he said, Nikki, I would send you into space, but I couldn't be able to bring you back. I said, what do you mean? He said, I can take you up, but coming back, you know, coming back into galaxy, because I have had lung cancer, and one of my left lung had to be removed. And he said, your organs would move around and you'd die. I said, Charles, I don't know how to tell you this, but if I was born, and I was, I'm going to die one day anyway. Mm. So what I would like is you to take me up into space. And when I do, because I will, just open the hatch. So the kids will look around and say, oh, there goes Nikki.
That's a Nikki star.
Really cool. Yeah, I think that'd be really, really cool.
Is that the next book, Open the Hatch?
You know, true. I really think the next book is OTC, because I have allergies. Over the counter. You can get everything over the counter.
OTC.
Yeah. So for anybody out here who's listening to us, who's lonely or sad, OTC. You can buy any, walk into the store and say, I need some love, you know, and put your credit card down.
If only.
You know, I do want to point out that it's probable that the galaxy is up its gang and is going to use Instagram, not telephone. So it's not like that.
Eventually, human beings, which we should, will use up our lives, not only individually, but as a group. And so there's no reason to have wars. There's no reason to not get a vaccination so that you can live without giving some disease to somebody else.
Right.
The human species, like everything else, will become extinct. And before it does, we ought to find a way to be able to say, well, I love you. It just ought to be the last thing. But human beings are crazy, so the last thing we're going to say is, I hate you, and I'm going to shoot you or something crazy. But the last thing that the last human being on Earth should say is, I love you. And the last thing I'm going to do is fry some chicken.
You've interviewed a number of significant figures in the past, which we won't go into because, you know, Muhammad Ali and such and such. But if you had to look forward now, who would you love to interview? If you had to look around, like, is anyone particular person, or did you say, oh, we'd love to be able to interview that person, or no?
Or write about, right?
Or write about. Okay. Or you had enough about that.
How's that? Anybody fascinating you?
That's a good way to say it.
I'm interested, I guess, in some people, but what I am most interested in, honestly, is the people we haven't met. And we haven't met the people. We haven't met the life forms in the galaxy.
I like what you're saying, Nikki, the life forms in the galaxy. Yeah. Right.
And that's really what I'm. And I'm not against, you know, talking to people. I'm talking to you all. And there are other some people I talk to. I had the pleasure of meeting Queen Elizabeth because she asked to meet me, of course, because you don't ask to meet Queen Elizabeth. And I suppose if he's not doing anything, he reads books. And Charles and I, King Charles and I both have a fascination with the climate, which is also a way to see the fascination with the galaxy. Right. So if he's not busy one day, I might get a call and say, you know, he might say, well, would you mind coming to London? You know, I'd love to have tea with you or something. I would like champagne. I don't drink tea. So we'll work out the minor things, you know, and a little caviar because he's rich and I'm not. But there's something else that I would like to see before I become a part of it.
You're listening to Art Moves on WNYE 91.5 FM, and we're talking to Nikki Giovanni. Though I find this conversation around the universe really, really interesting, I mean, because I believe we're spiritual beings. I believe we're made up of energy, and I believe that these bodies, they do expire, but we go on. I wanted to talk to you about what's happening now on this planet when it comes to the womanist movement. Now, do you see yourself as a womanist?
I see myself as a human being. Mm-hmm. And I guess if I could do any one thing on Earth, for Earth, mm-hmm. I would teach. And all I really know are Americans, because this is where I've been. I would start teaching American children that they are human. Mm-hmm. They are not black. They are not white. They are not men. They are not women. Doesn't matter what religion they have, what God comforts them or any of that. You are a human being. And I would start that in preschool. And by first grade, I would have everybody reading the Constitution, because the people that are in the Supreme Court are not reading the Constitution. And I'd have all of the kids by the fifth grade knowing the Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, that's what I think is important. So you're asking a question that is excluding. I don't think that I have to exclude Darrell from who I am. So I don't know what that means, a woman. I'm alive, and he is alive, and I respect him, and I expect him to respect me. But I must say, since Darrell, I'm not picking on Darrell.
No, but he's sitting right here next to me. He's got dimples and big brown eyes. I get it.
Since Darrell, you know, is a man, he will not have a baby. So he shouldn't have anything. He makes babies. He doesn't have
them. Exactly.
So he shouldn't have anything to say about it. And I sit and look at those old men who don't even make them anymore. They couldn't buy one. I don't think they have anything to say to women about what we do. I want to see the women go on a sex strike.
I have thought we should have done that a long time ago.
That's Lysistrata, the Greek play.
And to be able to get back I hate to use this word power, but control agency.
Yeah.
Agency.
Yeah.
Yes, I have thought that
long time. Everybody says, you know, next Wednesday, no sex.
That's it.
And all of the men will begin to understand.
They'll pivot.
Yeah.
They'll pivot.
Slow learners.
I wanted to talk to you about that poem that you wrote, Ego Tripping, because I was telling a friend of mine that we were going to be interviewing you, and she says she starts every one of her retreats with that poem. She started to cry. She says, oh, this is really hitting me. So Ego Tripping, a celebration of Black womanhood?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But a celebration of life, because obviously if you're going to create Earth, and that would be a longer story,
yes,
of course.
Yes.
But if you think about it, and you're just, you know, you're God walking around as James Weldon Johnson said, and God stepped out on space and he looked around and he said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. Well, what's the first thing you're going to need? A Black woman. Everybody knows that. So ask Prince Harry.
Yes. Hello. Yes.
And that's what you're going to need. So I was just dealing with, you know, I was born in the Congo because you're going to need that water and that rhythm. Hmm. But you didn't ask, and you may not before this is over, but see, now, I've retired from teaching. Mm-hmm. I'm a writer. I hope I continue to write. But my second dream, I guess, in life is that I want to be a singer. Because my mother sang. Wow. And I said, I want to sing. Now, I can't sing, but I hear a lot of singers that can't. And
that's so true.
It's true. Yes. And so I've been working with Javon Jackson, who is very kind, very sweet. He plays saxophone. He plays tenor sax. He played with Art Blakey. And we've done an album together. And I have asked Javon, can't we do an album with the songs that my mother loved time after time?
You know, yes.
The folks who live on the hill. These are old songs that
ballads.
Are
not. Classic,
but I love them, and I wanted to sing those. So what I was doing is that thinking about if I'm going to get a band together, what would, if I was God, in other words, what would I need? Well, the first thing I would need is drums. Because why would you have space? You need a drum.
Right.
And you would do that. I would need to hear the feet of the woman that I am creating. I would have to hear the feet, so I'd need a bass. But I would also need, of course, rain. So I've got to have a piano that would bring the raindrops down.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, because I am lonely and I want to call another life form, I would need a sax. Because if I was in space trying to ask somebody to come and talk to me, come and hold me, a tenor sax will do it. Ask John Coltrane. And so I have my band. Then I am born in the Congo.
Wow. What an imagination.
Yeah, fabulous.
Nikki, I wanted to ask you a question about your book titles. So, like, your book titles come from such a place of vulnerability and transparency. Like, I think of Standing in the Need of Prayer. I think of A Good Cry, and you wrote A Good Cry at a time when mental health was not, you know, something that we would talk about openly, specifically in the Black community. For you, when you're thinking about these, the book titles, you know, how do you come to the words? Because, like, again, as a poet, economy of language is so important. How do you come to title something as a poet?
Well, I think my titles come from whatever poem I'm doing, but it depends on where I am. And my parents had a really bad, what I would call a bad marriage. But what I realized when I was about 12 or 13, that their marriage had nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And
such
that
a
was
healthy
the first
place
thing. It was like,
be.
Oh, okay. And if that's the case, I need to go on about my business. I was very fortunate. I had a grandmother, and I have. She's gone now. She's sitting in heaven right now. But I was able to live with my grandmother and grandfather, so I didn't have to worry about my parents. But I also kept everything in. And I kept everything in for the longest. It took me the longest to learn to cry. But I had a seizure. And I said to my doctor, who was, speaking of cute, my doctor's really cute. If he wasn't, I wouldn't be bothered with him. Yes. And he said, you've had a seizure. And I said, no. I haven't learned to cry, to let things out. And he said, no, that's not true. I said, his name is Greg. I said, Gregory, I just gave you a gift, because you can now write this up, and other people who are having difficulty, you can tell them, there's nothing wrong. You have the Nikki, and what you need to do is learn to cry. And that's how we got to A Good Cry. But the book beyond, second book behind that, is called Make Me Rain. And Make Me Rain is a shout out to Marvin Gaye. And you'll see that I have the raincoat. Now, remember, I have the raincoat.
Yes.
And the difference between Marvin and me is that Marvin was looking down on what's going on.
Yeah, love Marvin.
And in Make Me Rain, I'm looking up. I don't mind being vulnerable. I never did. And I do learn to cry. So now, you know, my neighbor, I live on a mountain, and my neighbor hit a squirrel the other day. And, of course, anything will make me cry now. I mean, I said, oh, no, he hit a squirrel. What's his family going to think? And one of my favorite books is a book called Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim. And Mrs. Frisbee, as am I, was a single mother. And she didn't know she had four children. But she didn't know what happened to Mr. Frisbee. And we get, like, halfway through the book before we realize that the cat killed Mr. Frisbee. But she didn't deal with that. She said, oh, he's not coming back. So what I'm going to have to do is take care of these children. And I really loved Mrs. Frisbee for that. I recommend them, but just to watch her deal with the neighborhood.
Right.
And there's so many of us who are single mothers. And there's nothing else to say. We're single mothers. Now we go and have the community help us to rear our children. And let the community know we are there for them.
You're listening to Art Moves on WNYE 91.5 FM. And we're talking to Nikki Giovanni. And that raises a question for me. And it has to do with living boldly as you are in a society that is heteronormative. living boldly. I love that. Can you speak about that?
No, I don't think I'm living boldly. I just think I'm...
You live in you.
I'm just waking up every... Well, mm-hmm. you know, what is that? That stupid thing, Annie, tomorrow. There is no tomorrow.
Right.
It's only today.
The present.
And so you wake up today and you do what you can today.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wake up today and you do today. And so I won't let anybody take my today away from me. That I won't. I just don't think anybody has a right to my life. I just would like to live it myself. If nobody minds.
I love that.
Nikki, I wanted to ask you, talking about being different or being unique, being authentic. Could you tell us a little bit about the origin story of the Thug Life tattoo?
Well, Tupac got shot, as you know, on a weekend, but he died on that Friday. And my father had by then died, and I had moved back home to help my mother because it was clear that it's clear to me that she needed help. I'm a big fan of duty. And I thought it was my duty as the younger daughter. I needed to go home and help her. And so we're sitting there, and Pac had been shot. And I was really sure he was going to die, as anybody mm-hmm. keeping up with it was. And I thought, well, Afeni, and whom I don't know, I didn't know Tupac, and I didn't know Afeni. And I thought, she needs to know, speaking of single mothers, she needs to know that she's not alone. And I was sitting at the table. I'm a coffee drinker. And my mother's a beer drinker. And I said to Mommy, we were sitting there, and I said, you know, I think I'll get a tattoo, you know, just to let Afeni know that she's not alone. But Pac, of course, being a young man and in good shape, had Thug Life across his abdomen. Well, I was an old woman even when I was doing that. And I said, oh, no. And I said, I think I'll run it down my face. And my mother is a little fast, crazy woman.
Right, because you went to fast.
She was like, oh, my God.
I said, what?
And I could see her mind going, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, like,
and she said, well, baby, fine. Well, baby, if you do that, you won't be able to see it. And I said, oh, no. You're right. I said, I need to put it on my arm.
That was a good save.
I could see her thinking about that. And I put it on my arm. But I didn't know Afeni, so I had no way to let her know. But for some reason or somehow, the New York Times found out, I don't know how or any of that, that I had a Thug Life and they tattoo. And they said, they asked her if they could send a photographer. And I said, yes. And they took the picture, and it was in the New York Times. But what was good about that, because Afeni, you know, lived in California, and she saw it, and she wrote me a letter, which is still on my wall in my den, to say that she appreciated the fact that I cared about her son, which I did. I just wanted her to know she's like any other single mother, and she, too, was a single mother.
It's all community,
right? She was not
right?
alone.
Right, that she's not alone.
Someone cared with her. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who did. Don't misunderstand. But that was a way of letting her know that she was not alone in mourning her son.
I wanted to talk to you about the importance of faith. What is it to be a Christian for you, or faith?
How many years do we have?
Ooh, that's good.
You know, and, of course, I was talking about my parents, but my grandparents, grandmother and grandpapa, were both Baptists. Mm-hmm. Grandpapa was the deacon at the Mount Zion Baptist Church. I still remember Reverend James was the preacher, and so I remember very little, so that right there. But we all have our vision of Jesus, and we know that one of the things, and I can only go so far with this, but
certainly,
one of the things that Jesus, among others, teaches us is the most important thing that human beings have is words, because everybody who's been killed has been killed because of words. They killed Jesus. He didn't do anything. He killed Jesus because of words. They killed Socrates because of words. They kill mostly the people who are you're getting killed because of words. So we know that words are powerful. And I'm very happy for those of us who, and I would consider myself a Christian, but I would have nothing in common with some of the so-called evangelicals that listen to that. On the other hand, I do not want to judge somebody some married man who's sleeping with some married woman. It's none of my business. Mm-hmm. And I have learned that. So I'm not going to judge. And what I really like about Jesus, aside from the fact that he was a polite, bright guy, was that when he was on the cross, the man on his right said to him, you know, you say you're God, but you're up here with us. And what I like about Jesus, and I really do, is that he recognized, oh, that's a fool. And so he didn't waste any time on him. He turned to the man on his left. Mm. And the man on his left said, I believe that you are God. And he said, you will be with me in heaven. And it just teaches you, you know, it teaches me, never vote right. Always look to the left. He took a whip into the temple and said, you're not going to make change into the temple.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being a prince of peace doesn't mean you take a lot of crap.
Yeah, no, amen.
So one of the things that we've talked about in the past, Nikki, is the concept of enough and, you know, what is enough and kind of thinking about, you know, where we are today and, you know, what we see, like we talk about politicians, we talk about greed, we talk about capitalism. What does that concept of enough mean to you today? You know, the listeners tuning into this can go, oh, yeah, I never thought about it that way.
Well, I think that everybody has to recognize when you have done enough. I mentioned duty a minute ago. I'm a big fan of you have to do your duty. But even that, there is enough. That if there's something that is absolutely not working, I have no example. I'm not, you know, Dear Ann or you know, Ann Landers or somebody. I can't answer these kind of questions. But you have to know when you've done all you can do, then you have to step away from it. I know you have to know when you have enough money. I'm not a fan that much of the Old Testament, but mm-hmm. the Old Testament, you know, mm-hmm. but the Old mm-hmm. Testament, you know, everybody, you know, we talk so much about, you know, Ecclesiastes. I guess, mm-hmm. do you have enough? Well, there has to be enough. And I come from my ancestors, as our ancestors, mm-hmm. are from slavery. And yet somehow they recognized enough. Mm-hmm. And whatever they had, they used it. But they recognized that this is what they're using. Mm-hmm. This is what they have. This is enough. And they're going to take the next generation. And what I love about the enslaved, there's a lot to love about them. But what I love about them is, and I know that that was a woman. I mean, no disrespect to the men. But what some woman said to a child who was being sold away, if anybody asks you who you are, tell them you're a child of God. Mm. And that was just to give that child enough to go forward and that child's child. And so we're here now going enough. So do I want to be paid for my work? Yes. There's a limit to mm-hmm. to that. Would I like to take a trip around the world? Yes. But there's a limit. You understand? Mm-hmm. Do I hope to live a long life? Yeah, but there's a limit, you know?
Yes, yes.
At some point, it's all enough. My car is 13 years old, my dog is 6 years old, and my house is paid for. So I have enough, and I am happy. And I think that that's what's important to me, is that I'm happy. And I think I'm intelligent enough to enjoy, you know, to enjoy that which is good and smart enough to know that which is evil and to recognize the difference. I have sense enough to know when I have enough.
Well, you know what? We haven't had enough of you. But unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap. But thank you so much for sharing your insight and your wisdom with us here today on Art Moves. It's just been such a pleasure hearing you and just being in your presence. It's just wonderful. Thank you so much. Oh,
thank you. That's great. Thank you.
Art Moves is co-produced with Brick Arts Media and recorded at Brick Studio. This has been Art Moves with your host, Tony Williams.
And Eli Kaslansky and our distinguished co-host, Dr. Darrell Cooper.
Find some art that moves you and share it with someone.